I'm Ellen Mary.
And I'm Michael Perry.
And he's a plonky.
And she's a plant addict.
And this is the Plant-Based Podcast.
This is more than just a gardening podcast. We'll be exploring the world of plants from every possible angle. We'll be talking about plant-based diets, plant materials and fabrics, the well-being qualities of plants, and giving plenty of gardening tips and tricks.
So we'll be chatting worldwide to companies and individuals that are being creative with plants in new and exciting ways, from fabulous flower crowns to foliage-filled lounges,
botanical moisturisers to bamboo clothing.
It's all here.
And it's all made of plants.
Sutton's, suppliers of gardening products since 1806, sponsor the Plant-Based Podcast. Visit them online at suttons.co.uk.
We're so excited to bring you a bonus episode of the Plant-Based Podcast, which has been recorded at the Chelsea Flower Show this week. We're talking to Sutton's, who are our sponsors of this podcast, and we're talking to them about their Plant of the Year experiences over the years. So we'll be talking about 2017 when they won with the edible mulberry, which was the only time that an edible won the contest. Plus, we'll be getting the story behind their win this year. And they have just won Plant of the Year with a brand new outdoor succulent. And welcome to our special episode all about Sutton's. And we are interviewing David and Gavin from the company here at Chelsea Flower Show. And it's particularly exciting because they've also just, in the last hour, won Plant of the Year. So you're going to find out what that plant is later in the episode. But first up, we're going to start talking to David about the company, the history of the company, and how it's changed a lot in the last 15 or so years. So, David, give us a quick potted history of Sutton's. First of all, tell us what the brand stands for, and then how you became involved.
Well, my time with Sutton's is tiny compared with its history, because the company's been going for, gosh, I think about 217 years now.
Really?
Don't quote me on that. Oh, you are doing that. But it's something. But it's about. It's
around
about
200
that.
Okay, wow. Years. Yeah. That's incredible.
Over 200 years. And it's had a royal warrant.
One of the oldest in the UK, I imagine.
I believe it is, yes.
That's incredible.
And it's had a royal warrant for about 150 years. I ought to know these facts, oughtn't I?
A long time.
It's Queen Victoria,
just
anyway.
You've got
a different position to that, haven't you?
Absolutely,
David? What position are you?
I'm now managing director. Thank you, yes. So the secret of that is you don't actually need to know anything. You just need to know good people who do know stuff, you know, like Gavin and Rob.
I've known you a while, and you're one of the most chilled MDs I've ever come across, but I imagine that really helps the company run nicely, because there isn't that kind of aggressive side to it all.
Well, I hope not. Yeah. I don't like aggressive. I'm not an aggressive type, you know. So it is nice, and it's a lovely company to work
for.
Old company. I've been in old company. Yeah, I've been with it for 7 years now, I think. Joined as marketing director. So I had to learn a little bit for that. And then about 4.5 years ago, we did a management buyout. So a colleague and I bought the business from our previous French owners. It's been through a lot of different hands. It was owned by Volvo, the car manufacturer. Yeah, at one point.
Wow.
I don't know what the logic was, where it fitted in.
And cars then, and seeds.
Yeah, don't quite know.
What was that about? So,
and then we were latterly owned by a French conglomerate of... it's actually a cooperative of French farmers.
Oh, right,
Big company, a €2 billion company, sold grain all around the world. And again, we didn't quite fit within that company. But they owned us for over a decade.
Right, okay.
And then we had the chance to organise a management buyout 4.5 years ago.
How exciting, though.
It really was, yeah.
And have
really
things changed since you've taken over in any way?
I hope so.
In a good way, in a positive way.
I was going to say, making profits again, which unfortunately wasn't under the previous ownership.
Right.
And so reinvigorated it a bit.
That's brilliant.
And we came in at a good time for the business, at a good time for gardening. And I'm touching wood as I sit here now. And it's going well.
Good.
I'm enjoying it.
That's really exciting. Management buyout, nice and friendly. Sounds like a good company to work at. You got any jobs?
Yeah.
I was just joking. Just joking.
Do you want that now or should we do it afterwards?
Looking at it from a customer point of view, I know that people look at Suttons for their values. They don't put any plants into the catalogue unless they're thoroughly tested. And also you become quite known for unique edibles as well, which again are thoroughly tested. So
yes,
a lot of great new products coming through there, and a lot that you get the headlines with as well. And that's when we're going to talk about Plant of the Year. You'll find out more about how important of an accolade that is for the company too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right about the edibles. We started working with James Wong about 7 years, just as I joined the company, actually, about 7 years ago, and he introduced a lot of new and interesting plants. The one that sticks most in mind is the cucamelon.
I know. I've grown the cucamelon.
Have you grown that? Me too.
Yeah, I've grown the cucamelon. I wasn't entirely sure what would happen, but I had it in my greenhouse, and it trailed all down my... Like, I have, like, racks, and it was trailing all down there. And I would eat it as I was working in the greenhouse, because it's just the nicest when you pick it fresh. But they're amazing. And they've taken off, haven't they? That is snack food, but then you could pop them in salads and things. Really lovely.
And they're edibles that haven't been seen by the public until then, which is exciting as well.
They were, because the beetroot has been our best seller for however long, then cucamelon came in and knocked it off the top spot.
Get your cucamelons, everybody.
And of course, to touch on obviously Chelsea Flower Show, where we are today, one of your more successful introductions was an edible that won Plant of the Year, and it was the only edible to ever win, wasn't it?
It was.
Back a couple of years it was the mulberry, wasn't it? Tell us a little bit about that plant.
Yeah, Charlotte mulberry. I mean, Gavin will be able to tell you about where it came from and so on, but I was bred in Japan. I spent over 40 years in breeding it, and finally in his 80s thought, I've got it. He wanted to get a dwarf mole, but it took him that long to get this, and just perfect.
Brilliant. I think at that point, let's bring Gavin in and ask him a little bit more about that Plant of the Year experience back then.
Hi, Gavin.
Hi.
Yeah, hey, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
So you obviously helped Suttons back in 2017 come to victory with the Charlotte Russe Mulberry. Tell us a little bit about that journey. Did you know it was a winner from the offset?
We knew it was very different, very unique, and completely different to anything else that's out there in the market. And I think the uniqueness is what you've got to really focus on, to try and find something that people haven't seen before. And it really, you know, breaks the boundaries of what's known already. So did we know it was going to be a winner? No. But did we know it was special? Yes. And then, you know, the plant prepared itself really nicely for the show, and it just about did it in time. And you know, we were lucky enough to get the award 2 years ago.
You seem really passionate, like just from you just saying that. So what's your role at Suttons? What do you do there?
At Suttons, just explain. Yeah, my responsibilities are on the ornamental plant side.
Okay.
So I do all the bedding plants and the ranges as well, but we've also spent a lot of time in the last couple of years developing the perennials, the shrubs, you know, good garden plants.
Okay, so you must see all the different trends. Do you? Or I always wonder how that works. Maybe you come somewhere like Chelsea, where we are now, obviously. This year, it's all green foliage and native planting, isn't it? And there's lots of GMs around. So GMs seem to be the thing at the moment.
Yeah.
But how does everybody know that that's the thing for this year?
It's really hard to tell, because I think there are themes that come through and new plants come through, and that's really, really interesting. It's also slightly dominated, I think, by the plants that you can get ready at that time of the show.
Yeah.
Things like GMs are naturally just starting to do it themselves, and you always find the lupins and the salvia caradonnas and, you know, things like that, which are really, really reliable for the show gardens. And then, you know, we sat here looking at rhododendrons. They hold nicely in the cold store and things as well. So I think part of it is themes, part of it is what works, part of it is what people can grow and what comes through. But there's always those bits coming through. And like you say, the naturalisation, I think, is really, really strong. And you've seen it building for the last couple of years, I think, but this year it really is quite strong here, yeah.
And then once that's all happened at the shows, do you see an increase in sales for those particular plants at Suttons? Is that noticeable?
Quite often it is, yeah. You can see the things that the press are picking up on, and things that the film cameras pick up on during the week, and you can often see those things spiking during your sales.
Right.
I mean, some things are a lot harder to... in order to bring to the market. The naturalisation is quite hard to bring to the market.
Imagine,
you know, it's the seeds and it's the bulbs. It's quite a hard effect, to try and sell. But you can see it spiking sometimes through the sales.
Oh, wow. So what about this year then? Because you literally just had the news that you've won Plant of the Year this year. So it's the second time you've won, I believe. And what plant has won this year? What have you won with?
Let's have it, David.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's the Sedum Atlantis.
Yay! Yay. We need a round of applause sound effect.
It's the first time the sedum has won.
Okay.
I think it's the first time a variegated plant.
I believe
won,
so.
Yeah.
First sedum, first variegated.
First succulent as well.
First succulent, perhaps.
It
really
ticks all the boxes of now in the gardenscape, doesn't it? Because it is. It's drought tolerant, it's a succulent, people are crazy on succulents, and also it's variegated, which used
and
to be untrendy.
Pollinator
as well, so it's really ticking every box.
Yeah.
And I was in the presentation when you guys gave the speech, and I have to say, David, you gave a really good speech, and you hit on a lot of those emotive points.
That's why David's MD.
But I just knew he had the judges in the palm of his hand with some of the lines that he delivered there. Yeah, how did you feel? Did you know you had a good speech there?
Nervous as hell.
But we can never tell.
I hate giving presentations.
No.
But I mean, and I tell you, it's really difficult to get it down to 90 seconds.
Yeah.
I remember reading someone, I'm sorry I've sent you such a long email, I didn't have time to send you a short one, And I think there's a lot of truth in that, trying to get something down and really...
practice in the time
as
well?
I did. Because if you stumble over one word, I knew there was so much to say about that plant, because we really thought it was a super plant. There was a hell of a lot to say.
Tell us a bit about the plant, though.
Let's hear
about the plant.
Yeah, well, it's it comes out, the leaves come out creamy pink initially, and then they turn dark green with a lovely creamy white margin. Spreads to half a metre across.
Okay.
And then in July, it gets this sort of foam of yellow flowers that spring up.
Wonderful.
Which great for
pollinating
insects. Exactly. And those will last for several months.
Okay.
And then in the autumn, the leaves take on a pink tinge as well. So,
you have different colours throughout the season. He was probably on Instagram, to be honest.
Yeah, he will have been. He'll have been tweeting.
So basically, it's quite long throughout the season, so it flowers that has interest for quite a long period throughout the year.
There isn't a point there where it doesn't look great.
Do
sedums that, you know, a lot of them you're waiting for. You think of the traditional sedum in the autumn where they get lots of pollinating insects.
They're
a little bit innocuous for the rest of the year, whereas this one is striking throughout the whole year. And that's what
fantastic.
We loved about it.
Well,
about the journey then, how easy was it? Were you involved with that, Gavin, getting the plants ready for the show on the Sedum Atlantis? Was it tricky or was it an easy one?
It's interesting because the sedum was actually relatively easy compared to others that we've done. I'll be honest, we've prepared a few other varieties as well for the show, and clearly they didn't win. And they really were quite tricky. You've got a few tricks that you can use with the heat and the light and glass houses, polytunnels outside, cold stores, all of these sorts of things you can try. And we used all of those for the different plants. But I'll be honest, with the sedum, it almost just did it itself.
But that's why it won.
Well, it is.
Do you know what I mean? That's exactly why something like... Yeah. It's a good garden plant.
Yeah.
We can all grow it. It's good for current climate. You know, people are going to, relate to it. Do you know what I mean?
No, I agree. And, you know, we held some back in the cold store. We put some in the glass houses. We put some under the lights. Trying to think, well, we had to try and cover all eventualities. Not quite sure what the weather's going to do. And we tried to cover everything. And they all just pretty much did it themselves.
Yeah,
it almost
crazy.
Took the skill away from it because they just did it. And, I mean, David made a comment in his speech of we could have chosen any of the 20 that we prepared for the show. Almost any of them could have been brought to the show. And he was very right. It was actually quite easy.
Wow, I want to get my hands on one of those.
I'm going to try and sneak a cutting off. You know how easy sedums are
to
take. I'll take it from the back.
I'm pretty sure that's stealing. That's stealing. We won't be having that at Chelsea, darling.
No.
One more point about Plant of the Year. It's as much about the plant and how good a garden plant it is, all the boxes it ticks. But a part of it is also slightly a beauty pageant, because the plant has to look good on the day here at Chelsea too. And of course, because that plant did, it then was able to, you know, switch on the judges to realise, this is a good garden plant, isn't it? So it is the combined of the two. So to win Plant of the Year is a really tough job, I have to say.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We had a delphinium that we were really optimistic for. It's a super plant, but we just weren't able to get it quite right for today.
Oh, really? Yeah, because I remember seeing pictures of that, and I thought, that's got to be a winner.
Yes.
But also the Clematis Little Lemons that was from another supplier.
Oh, that's lovely.
I really thought that would make the shortlist, but
it
wasn't in flower enough to go on display at the Chelsea show here, and so it didn't make that shortlist. But I was screwed because I already got it tattooed on my shoulder.
It is. It's all down to that day, and it's really, really hard to hit that day.
Yeah. Have you got a shoulder lift for the pseudonym?
Actually, yes.
And where does the name come from? You know, when you're naming plants, where does it come from? Oh, is there a story behind this?
No. It wasn't.
Did you name it?
I'll be honest. It wasn't named by us. It was named a few years ago, and it suits its name, doesn't it? It really does suit its name.
So Atlantis, to me, as soon as I think of that, I think of those grand hotels in Barbados and Dubai, the Atlantis hotels. But it reminds me of kind of nice sunny weather, beaches, you know, all of that kind of thing. And when you look at the sedum, you've got that lovely bright yellow flowers. It reminds me of like sunny, fairly dry climate. So
I
it
think
does
now
suit
we'll say
it.
That's where the name came from. Nice. Yeah, that sounds good
there
enough
you
to
go,
me.
You heard that hit. I named it accidentally.
I'm wondering if later on we might be able to actually grab the plant developer behind that. So I know he's here at the show.
Okay.
So we could get him on the podcast and find out even more about the history behind this wonderful, very worthy plant of the year. Okay, so it's the afternoon at Chelsea Flower Show and it's starting to get really, really busy. So apologise for any background noise. You've got a bit of Caribbean music going on in
it's
the
lovely,
background.
Isn't it?
I know, but we've managed to hunt down Peter Van Rysen and he's from the licensing company. Basically, he's a plant hunter and he is the guy that brought Sedum Atlantis to the public. So we're going to ask him even more behind the history of this amazing plant, such as where it's from, why it was chosen, why it makes a good commercial proposition, not just for the UK, but all different markets around the world. So, over to you, Peter. Tell us the story of Sedum Atlantis and when you first came across it. Where's it from? Who bred it? All of that info, we need it right now.
Well, hello, plant lovers. When I was traveling around the world, I came in the US to visit a nurseryman called Hortec Nurseries, and I asked him, well, what do you do on breeding and on selecting new plants? So he was showing me this, one of his new foundings, which was the Sedum Atlantis, and he showed me the characteristics from it, and I was really directly in love with that. And I said to him, well, once you are going to introduce that will change the whole sedum market, which is quite exciting. And he's a silent guy. So he selected in 2013, which was a sport from Gold Carpet. And he did that in 2013. And this new sport was showing a very large foliage, but variegated gold. And he selected that and trialed. And Hortec is known for living roofs and living walls, which means that after all the trials he did with the Atlantis in those in those living walls and roofs, that it also needs to be a bulletproof sedum. And this one was finally bulletproof. So he decided to introduce it, and I told him, well, why not introducing it at the Chelsea Flower Show?
Where better to introduce it?
Exactly. And all the judges, they decided that it's the plant of the year.
And it's won.
And it won,
well,
yes.
Well deserved.
Yes, very
you
well.
You obviously love it, don't you?
Of course. And, one of the things I like about it, it's that you have and the variegated foliage, which is very colorful, and you have the golden or yellow flowers, mm-hmm. which is a big bonus, because a lot of bumblebees are loving it.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say I'm quite a lazy gardener, so many times I forget to water plants. And with Sedum Atlantis, no problem. So it's a perfect plan for me.
Forget forever.
Yes.
It would be fine.
Yeah. But, you know, when we're talking about climate change at the moment, you know, and having much drier, warmer, hotter weather, plants like sedums are going to be really important, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big trend because they can resist. What you see with the climate change is that there are very extremes. So when it's raining, it's a lot of rain. And when it's the sun is shining, it's a lot of sun.
Yeah.
And then for a longer period. So with the Sedum Atlantis or sedums, they can resist both, yeah, both ways, both extremes. And that makes it the plant for the future.
Yeah.
Because also you can use it in a lot of ways, not only for living roofs or living walls, but also in a mixed container. You can make it in the borders. You can use it as a specimen plant. And those are a lot of different ways how
absolutely.
You use it.
Yeah, wow. Well, that's really exciting.
I know. It's a worthy winner, I have to say. You know, out of all the plants there, it was a real mixed bag this year too. But with the sedum, it was emotive. It's kind of a very now plant. And of course, climate change is getting more real. So it's the plant of the future.
The Plant-Based Podcast is sponsored by Sutton's, suppliers of gardeners' favourite products since 1806. Unsurprisingly, Sutton's now have everything you need for your outside space. Award-winning flower and vegetable plants, garden furniture and equipment, plus gifts for gardeners. Visit them online at suttons.co.uk.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Plant-Based Podcast.
Have a browse of the rest of the library or hop on over to the website, which is theplantbasedpodcast.net.
You'll also find our social media links. Please connect with us and let us know about any plant-based projects that you think we should be covering on the show.
And make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you'll be the first to hear the next episode. We're releasing once a fortnight. So until next time, enjoy the world of plants.